Well, hallelujah. Well, we do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you excited? Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can bring me down a little, Mike, and roll off to 500 on the EQ if you could. Thanks. All right. Well, are you excited this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, it is an exciting day. It is one of the best days of the year, certainly one of my favorite days. Oh, yes, it's Mother's Day. Did you get your flowers as you came in, all the ladies? Yes? No. Oh. I got my own glasses. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. We really appreciate you, and we're so grateful for all that you ladies do, and you know, we're just excited that God has brought us together so that we can go through life together and overcome the challenges and the obstacles that we face, and to be able to share and experience the power and the presence of God. And there's nothing greater than that. And that's exciting. Am I right? All right. Well, hallelujah. Well, praise God. We are talking about accomplished redemption and how Christ has accomplished this amazing thing called salvation for us, that you and I might live a life that has been redeemed, that we would be able to know the secrets of the creation that God has made in order to navigate life in a way where we can come through unscathed by sin. Whew. And that is an awesome thing. As we read the Word of God, as we apply the principles of God's Word in our life, we're able to live in a way that makes us victorious, so that the strategies of the enemy, the thing that Satan has caused to overtake the world, is something that you and I will be able to overcome. And the Spirit of God enables us to make our way through life in a powerful way. And when we do, we end up where Christ is. We end up like Him. And we are on the road that leads to life. And that is an exciting journey. And I don't know about you, but every day is exciting for me. I'm excited. Do you wake up excited in the morning? Because you never know what's going to happen. You just don't know what's going to happen. Now, that might scare some people, but as the people of God, it ought to make you excited. Because God is creating opportunities for us to glorify Him. And every day, we have an opportunity to be His witnesses. And that means God has to do something new and interesting that day that will cause people to go, so what's up with that? Or what? What did you do? What happened? Right? So God has got to create these aha-like experiences in our life so that we can have something to share, to testify about. Right? When you go to work tomorrow, people will be talking about parties. They'll be talking about what they did over the weekend. People who go out hanging out and doing all kinds of stuff that they do in the world. Not so much as after COVID, but they still do it. And they're looking for the opportunity to do it. And so they're going to want to talk about those things. Or they're going to talk about their miseries, their problems. Oh, this happened and that happened. And then all these things that are hindering them or bring them down. But you and I can take those things and turn them into a testimony of how God is able to deliver them. Hallelujah. Why? Because He did it for us. Because we have experienced God. We have experienced His redemptive work. And that is why it's important to make public appearances as a child of God. Hallelujah. When you show up at work, don't just go as the old you. Go as someone who's making an appearance. I'm here to represent the kingdom of God. I'm here to demonstrate the power and the authority of God. And we're just looking for opportunities to demonstrate our products, to show you what it is that you could experience if you joined us in this great adventure and walk with God. You too can have a story that can change people's lives. And that is the way we face our day. That is the way we rise up and we go forward. Otherwise, you're going to go through with a victim mentality. Oh, man, what do we got to do now? Oh, man, I can't believe this is happening to me. Oh, what's going on? Oh, I got, whoa, why do we got to do it? Whoa. You don't want to go through life like that, do you? No. So we'd rather turn it around. And it all depends on what perspective you have. And we know that where good is, evil is always present, the Word of God says. And that's okay because that's the world we're in. But there's a day of redemption that is coming. The Redeemer, he lives. And Christ is coming. And when he returns, he will make all things new, the Word of God says. Can you see that day? Because that's the day you need to see in order to get through all of the other days that lead to that day. And so proclaim and magnify the Lord. Allow him to be glorified in your life. Allow him to be magnified and to be lifted up and exalted as you go through life, as you do the things that God has called you to do. Because we all are on a mission and we all have a purpose and a plan that needs to be carried out and fulfilled. And that is what you and I are about. That is what our lives are about. And so today, we are going to start out here by asking the question, have you ever heard of SOS? Do you know what an SOS is? Do you know what it stands for? Help? Yes. I heard somebody say it over here. What is it? Save our ships. That's right. It's an SOS, and it means save our ships is what it. It actually originally didn't start out with a name. It started out because of Morse code, and it was an easy way to send for help. And it was the three dots, three dashes, and three dots for the S-O-S. So when they were on the transmitter machine, they would just go doot-doot-doot, doot-doot-doot for the S, and then they would go, the O would be doot-doot-doot, and then they would go doot-doot-doot, S-O-S. So if you were a radio operator and you were listening and you heard doot 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 doot, you knew that that was a cry for help. You knew that somebody needed to be rescued or they needed some sort of assistance. And you and I, we're going through life. There are those times when we need help. We need assistance. Things happen. And we find ourselves being challenged in so many different ways. And we need to call for help. And not only do we call on the Lord for help, but God then gives us each other so that we can help one another in times of trouble and in times of need. And there is nothing more challenging, I'll say, to go through life with no one to help you. It's a terrible position to be in. And thank God for the people of God. Thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank God for those of us who God has placed in our lives so that we can have help in our times of need. Don't be ashamed or afraid to send out an SOS. Even if it seems like it's something that is trivial or is something that's not really worth bothering people for, you might need to bother people over something that is trivial if you really need help. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Send for help. We see that in our story today as we look at this biblical account here in 2 Kings 4:26, our lead verse. It says, "Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?' And she answered, 'It is well.'" Hallelujah. It is well. And saints of God, no matter what it is that we face, no matter what challenges we have to overcome, it will be well when God is with us. When we go through life with the Lord with us, it enables us to understand that it is well. Not because the situation that presents itself is easy to deal with or is not challenging, but because in the end, we know that God is going to see us through it. God is going to make a way. And so today's title is Send Out an SOS. Send Out an SOS. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would open the doors of our heart and our mind that we might hear and receive the things of God, the word of God, that you may give us wisdom and direction. Speak to us, Lord, that you might be able to help us to navigate life as it presents itself each day. Give us wisdom and guidance and strength. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, an SOS is an emergency cry for help. And so often we deal with things in life and we try to deal with it on our own. You know, so often people find themselves in trouble, and I've asked people, well, why didn't you just ask for help? Why didn't you say anything? And at one time somebody said to me, I don't want people in my business. Have you ever heard people say that? Well, I don't want anybody in my business, you know. You know, as if they're running a multi-million dollar corporation, right? And they've got secrets to withhold, you know. But people say that. But God says, I want to be in your business. I want to be a part of your life. And when you're going through challenges and difficulties, when you need help, I will be a resource to you. And God has made himself available, and not only has he made himself available, he's raised up an army of his people who are standing at the beck and command and call of God. And when the Lord touches people's hearts, they go into action. And God uses us to fulfill the will of God, to be helpers of each other. It's very rare that you will ask somebody who's authentically walking with God for help, and they say, yeah, no, not today. I don't think I've ever really seen that. I've seen people who are pretending to walk with God do that, but not people who are authentically walking with God. And you and I are able to experience things because of what Christ has done in our life, how he has redeemed us. There are things that we used to say that we don't say anymore. Isn't that right? And there are things that we used to do and places we used to go that we don't go. We don't do those things anymore. We've changed where we make public appearances. Isn't that right? Why? Because now we are on a tour of representation of the kingdom of God. And we are busy about our Father's business so that we can bring the word of the Lord alive in the hearts and minds of the people that God has placed in our life. Now we have vision and we have purpose. And so here in 2 Kings 4:8, we see this story of this Shunammite woman who we understand through scripture was living in the land of Shunem, which is in the promised land. It's one of the towns that was conquered by the Israelites when they came out of the wilderness and into the promised land. And so here now the Israelites have been living there for some time, and Elisha the prophet passes through this place on occasion back and forth as he traveled along his way, his route. In verse 8, it says, now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. Now, I didn't pick this verse on purpose, intentionally, because it had food in it. But I will pause here to make the point that whenever God is doing something in a situation, he always provides food. I'm just saying that it is always good to have a little something to eat when you're doing the things that God has called you to do. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I know it's Mother's Day, but we need a little men thing. So, you know, there's nothing like a little food along the way. And good hospitality begins with good food. Isn't that right? And so here is the Shunammite woman. She is showing good hospitality. And as she goes along here, she's got this idea, this vision of providing food for this man who's passing by. She's being very hospitable. And it wasn't something that was unheard of in those days. In fact, the Jews would often do that. They will travel to different places, and they wouldn't stay at hotels or places. They would stay at somebody's house. And it was part of the law of Moses that when they would travel, they would take care of each other, and they would stay with each other. In fact, even today, it is practiced. And I'm sure you've seen some of the Hasidic people on the highway, standing there on the highway by the exit. You ever wonder why? You know, they're standing out there. You know, they're not like playing some sort of game where it's, you know, dodge the traffic or anything like that. You know, but they're waiting for someone to come by from their community who's willing to give them a ride. And then they're able to hitchhike, if you will, their way to wherever they need to go. And whenever a Jew sees somebody out there like that, they're obligated to pick them up and to give them a ride. And so this is something that is happening in this case, where we see the Shunammite woman is watching what's happening in her community, and she noticed this guy keeps going back and forth, and she says, you know, I'm going to encourage him to stop and have some food. And you know what goes with food is good conversation. She can learn a little bit about him, and so she invites him over, and that's very hospitable, and that's a gift that we all need to have, and a good mother will have a gift of hospitality. I can't tell you how many times my mother hosted me and my friends coming over the house to do whatever it was we were doing. And she always had a little something to eat for us. And that made it that much better. Hallelujah. And so here she is in verse 9, and she says to her husband, "Now behold, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by continually." And she says, "Please, let us make a little walled chamber and let us set a bed for him there and a table and chair, a lampstand, and it shall be that when he comes to us that he can turn in here." So in other words, she wants to now turn her home into a little bed and breakfast for the man of God as he comes back and forth. She wants to build an upper room, build an addition onto her house for this guy. Wow. Now that's hospitality, isn't it? Hallelujah. Now that's pretty amazing. So here she is. Now the husband, notice he's not saying too much, but I can only imagine that he's probably like, "Wait, what? Wait, you want to do what? Wait, we want to build an addition on? Well, wait, who is this guy? What is this guy? You were just building a room on for him? We don't really know him all that well. He only passes by. Spoke back and forth. I know you're saying he's a man of God, but we're going to build an addition onto the house, right?" And I'm sure he had questions to ask. I know I would have been asking a whole lot of questions. I'd have been like, "Wait, what?" And so here he is. We don't get that, but I'm sure that's going on in the background. But the woman has a vision. She has been touched by God. Something is on her heart to do, and that is because when God is working in a person's life, he begins to cause them to do things that may seem unusual to others, but really it's part of the plan of God. And so often we have these thoughts and ideas, and we want to try something new, or we want to do something that's not something we would normally do, and we don't always understand why. But often I have found that God will use those things to be a blessing. And this Shunammite woman, she was building her relationship with God through this experience. In fact, we can see several points about her that I have listed here. The first one is that she was a perceptive woman. She was able to recognize that this was a man of God as he traveled back and forth. And that after that, she wanted to be a blessing. You and I, we need to have a desire to be a blessing to others. We need to have a heart of willingness so that we can be a blessing. She invested in the care of the prophet. She was willing to invest a lot of money in showing hospitality. She built an addition onto her house in order for her to provide a place when the man of God passed through, whatever, however often he came through. And that was her way of showing hospitality. She not only fed him, but she gave him a place to stay overnight. And so, therefore, positioning herself for a blessing. And you and I have to learn how to position ourselves for a blessing. And not that we intentionally go after the blessing because we want a blessing, but we're doing things because we're inspired by the Lord. We're inspired to be a blessing to someone else in order to have an impact on someone else's life. And this is what the Shunammite woman is experiencing. In Matthew 10:41, it says, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And he or whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." So whenever we are a blessing to others, there is a reward that God offers. It's not something that you intentionally do for the sake of the reward, but it's as we are doing the will of God, as we are being led by the Spirit of God, God will cause us or burden us on our hearts to do something that needs to be done as a blessing to someone else. And when we do those things, there is a reward that attaches itself to it. Why? This is what is known as a spiritual principle. This is a divine principle that when applied in your life, God causes you to be blessed. You are positioning yourself in the place where the blessing of God will come into your life. And it's the way God works. And it works for everyone, saved people and unsaved people, if you follow this principle, because it is a divine principle. And so it says, "The king will answer and say to them," verse 40 of Matthew 25, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to these my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." And so here is the king saying this, and God is ascribing this to himself. If you do this in behalf of a child of God or for a child of God, if you're a blessing to them and you're doing it as my representative and my ambassador or someone who's under my authority, then it's like you're doing it to me. And this is what you and I will experience when we bless one another. In Romans 12:10, it says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, and contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." And that's what the Shunammite woman is doing. This is what is taking place in her life. And this is something that mothers and families do as we go through life. There is nothing better than making sure that you have a home and a place that others can come and share your lives together with them and be able to have life experiences together. I remember when my wife and I, we were looking for a car. We were trying to decide, you know, what car we should get. And we ended up buying a van. And people say, "Well, why would you buy a van?" I said, "Well, because at the time I was a youth pastor and we were always going somewhere, and there was so many times where we didn't have enough room in the car. I said, well, we should just have a van." So I bought a van. And then we would stuff people in it, right? And we used it for stuff that we needed for the youth group, as well as family stuff. And so we thought long-term and long vision. And even when we bought our home, we didn't just buy our home for what we needed. We were thinking, well, what if people come over? And if people come over, we needed a home where people could come over and there would be some space for that. And so we consider these things. And I'm sure you have done similar things yourself, that you have thought, what is the long term? What is the vision? Where are we headed? It's not just for me, not just for right now, but how is this going to be a blessing down the road over time? And we think with a visionary perspective, the perspective of one who has vision. And we're thinking beyond the right now and the today and the here and now. In verse 13 of 2 Kings 4, we see that he says to him, it says, say now to her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken of to the king or to the captain of the army? And she said, I live among my own people. In other words, oh, no, no, no. You don't have to do anything grand or great for me. I'm a humble person that's, you know, I like to be low key. I'm not trying to, you know, get into any kind of politics or get involved with anything. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm just enjoying my life amongst my own people. I'm a local girl and I'm just, you know, doing what I do. That's all. And so she wasn't looking for any notoriety, but she got it anyway, because here she is being celebrated in the word of God. And so God is acknowledging her because of her faithfulness and the sacrifice that she made. So what do we learn from this Shunammite woman so far that is a foundation for us to stand on and apply in our own lives so we can learn how to see the benefits of applying these principles? Well, first, we see that the prophet was Elijah, and he is representing God. And he's representing God regardless of what the situation is. Elijah represents God. He is the man of God. And as a result, God is working through him. And so he is now offering her the kingly authority that he has. And he is saying, hey, do you want me to speak to you on behalf of the king? Well, he represents the King of Kings. And so here is the Shunammite woman being offered authority from the king, who has authority over the people and property and the land. That's what the king represents. And then there's the captain of the army. And the captain of the army has authority and power to fight the enemies of the king. And saints of God, this is all being offered to the Shunammite woman. She is being offered a relationship with God. She is being offered the opportunity to represent God before the people and to interact with the people with godly authority. She's also being given the ability or experience of having her enemies overcome by the captain of the Lord's army. Hallelujah. All of these people who are in this sense are operating under divine authority. God is at work. God is manifesting himself in the midst of them. In verse 14, it says, so he says, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, truly she has no son, and her husband is old. And he said, well, call her then. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And so I wanted to point out here that when you are in the place where God wants to bless you, you put yourself in the place where God calls you to himself. He will bring that blessing to you. Blessings will come to you. If you have to chase down your own blessing, I'm not sure that that's really a blessing from the Lord. I believe that when God blesses you, you don't have to chase after it. You're not trying to make anything happen. You're not like trying to become something. You are simply walking in obedience to God. You are simply applying the principles of God because your desire is to be more like him, to honor the Lord. And as a result, the blessings of God will come to you. And so the calling was upon her. She was called to receive her blessing. And so he says in verse 16, He says, at this season next year, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord. Oh, man of God, do not lie to me. Hallelujah. In other words, she said, stop lying, Elijah. Come on now. My husband is old. You know I'm not going to have a son by this time next year. Come on. And that is what I am calling the Abraham and Sarah blessing. Abraham and Sarah had a similar experience, isn't that right? And the Lord said, you will have a son. I'll make you the father of many nations. Sarah, she laughed. And Abraham was like, what? How is that going to happen? And so it was a similar experience that we see here. And God is a God of the impossible. He is a God who does the unexpected. He is the God of the amazing and the awesome. He is a God who is able to cause things to happen that you would never even think to think about. God is that creative and that amazing. And that is why it always pays to be faithful to God, to apply the principles of God's word in your life, because it will open doors that you didn't even realize it was a door. Hallelujah. You didn't even realize that, you know, it was a door. I understand that in the Oval Office, all the walls look the same going around. And the doorway is built into the wall, and when it's closed, you can't tell which panel is the actual door. And that's a very interesting thing, because that reminds me of how God works. We're going through life, and as we go through life, things are happening, and everything looks status quo. It looks as if it does the same for everybody else, people who walk with God and people who don't. But God causes doorways to open in places you don't expect. And he causes things to happen in ways that you didn't even realize that that even was a thing. And God will make things happen, because God is the God of creation. He is the one who creates things. He makes things happen. So when you try to calculate or figure things out, or you try to, you know, well, can I afford to do this? Can I not afford it? Do I have the time? Do I not have the time? Do I have the resource? We're going through all of these humanistic processes in order to make a divine decision. And God says, just be obedient. And that is why obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Every good mother knows this. Isn't that right? The mama says, don't touch the stove. It's not because she's trying to deprive you of an opportunity and an experience that will change your life. It's because she doesn't want you to get burned. Hallelujah. And so often, we go through life and we have the wrong perception as to why things happen and why people do the things that people do. And we tend to blame people, or we blame the situation or the circumstance. But really, could it be that God is orchestrating you to be in a place to receive a blessing? Maybe God is doing something that you didn't know could be done, so that you can have an experience that you didn't know that you needed, so that you could see the witness and the testimony of God, so that you could have a story to tell to the world throughout the generations. Saints of God, God is doing a new thing in your life and mine, and we need to allow God to manifest himself as we go through life. In verse 17, it says, the woman conceived and bore a son that season. And the next year, and Elisha had said to her. In other words, it happened the way he said. And her promise was fulfilled. God is a fulfiller of promises, saints of God. God is a fulfiller of promises. And if we can just interact with God, if we can have a relationship with God that is beyond a 30-second prayer and some sort of blessing and and just going through the motions of things, where we're hearing his voice and following him like Jesus said his sheep would do, that will cause your life to be changed, because God will do things that you didn't even know God could do. And it's not that we don't think God can do stuff. It's just that we're not expecting God to do it for us. And we don't even know what that would look like or what it would be in order to expect it. And so God is a fulfiller of promises. And he is able to make a way even when it seems impossible. Verse 18, hallelujah, amen. Verse 18 says, when the child was grown, that means some time went by, years went by, and it says the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. In other words, they went out to reap the harvest, and it was that season of the year, and he was old enough now to go to work. He's a young man. And so she's enjoyed many years with this boy who's now grown to a young man, and he is now working with his father. I would say he's probably a teenager of some sort. And so now he is going out to work, and it says that in verse 19, he said to his father that his head hurts. He has a headache. He says, my head, oh, my head. And he says to his servant, the father says, like every good father would say, take him to his mother. Take him to his mother. Carry him to his mom. We're out here. We're working. We got a lot to do. The kid has a headache. You know, mom, send him to his mother. Hallelujah. I'm sure he was like, yes, I'm out of work. I get to take a break. So often, mothers are the ones who the SOS goes out to. And so the SOS went out. The call went out to the mother. And I'm sure the mother said, I'm busy. I can't take care of him. You take care of him. He's with you working in the field. Why are you sending him to me? Is that what mama said? Not in the Bible, she didn't. She sure didn't. No. No, that's not what mama said. In fact, she went and she received her son. And we see that not only does this dynamic of the prophet's life work, you see how the Shunammite woman is being orchestrated and positioned so that the blessings of God can begin to take root and even expand in her life. She's learning more about the Lord and the power of God through this whole experience with Elisha. And even though he's just a casual player and passing back and forth through the story of the Shunammite woman is really about her household and her family. God is doing an amazing thing. Even in the public arena, I'm sure these are the people who had the baby when the old man was old and when the woman was barren and unable to have kids. You know people talk. And in the community, in her little town, everybody knew she didn't have kids. And now she's got a son, and now he's old enough to work. Man, that is a story. And so you and I are being positioned to not only have an experience with God, but so that we can be a witness. God wants to give you something for people to talk about, for people to be able to share and to be able to create some kind of stirring over. God will use you in ways that you didn't even expect. And so here she is. God is doing amazing things in the midst of her life, in the midst of the people. And so in verse 20, it says, when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat him on her lap until noon. And then he died. He died. Wow, that's pretty rough, isn't it? So the young boy there, he's brought to his mother. One minute he's working, he's fine. Then all of a sudden he gets a headache. And his dad says, take him to his mom. And his mom takes him and she puts him in his lap. And I could just imagine, he was probably a pretty big boy there, sitting on his mama's lap because he had a headache. He was really overwhelmed by the pain. And so she held on to him. And I guarantee you she was praying. That she was praying over him and asking God for healing, but he still died. And so often when we find ourselves in situations that don't turn out the way we want them to, we respond in a negative way. And we begin to blame God, or we blame other people, or and we take it out on each other. And the wife, she could have said, what did they do to you down there in that field? How in the world, how is it that your head is hurting? What, did somebody hit you in the head with something? Or what happened? Did you fall? How did this happen? But she's not doing any of that. She is just ministering to her son, and he died. And that, I'm sure, was a burden on her heart. That would be overwhelming, your son to die in your lap. And so what is her response? It says, she went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God, and she shut the door behind him and went out. Hallelujah. This is very interesting action here, isn't it? She takes him, she puts him on the bed. Now, this is the same bed that she made for the man of God, for someone else. Now, she's got a room to bring the boy to, and she's got a bed to put him on, not because she made it for herself, but because she made it for the man of God, who then blessed her, and she ends up with a child that she didn't even know she could have, and now she's got a place to place him because she expanded her home for the prophet and turned out to be a blessing for her as well. And so she returns him to the place of promise and the place of blessing. It was an upper room. And you and I, we need to frequent the upper room in our life. We need to spend time in the presence of God. We need to be able to experience God on a regular and consistent basis so that we can continually to be lifted up and encouraged and strengthened in the things of the Lord, in the Spirit of God. Verse 22 says, then she called to her husband. Now she's calling her husband, right? And she says, please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return. And here she is now taking responsibility for her son. Why? Because her husband said, send him to his mother. And she took care of it. Once she owned the problem, she saw it through. She followed through to resolution. She didn't, after the son died, just leave him there on the ground and say, oh, let me go talk to my husband. He's dead. Oh, I can't believe it. That prophet, he gave me a son, and now he didn't live. Now he's dead. And she didn't whine, and she didn't complain, and she didn't have any. What if she took him right up to the upper room, laid him on the bed, and God was speaking to her. And I believe that God was telling her what to do before the son even died as he sat on the lap. God was revealing things to her as she was praying and interceding for her son. And so she was there, and she calls for a donkey. You ever notice how in the Bible donkeys have such a prominent role? They're not the dummies that people ascribe them to be. Donkeys are pretty prominent. There are several prophets that had donkeys in the Word of God. And certainly Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on a donkey. Kind of makes you proud to be a part of the donkey family. Hallelujah. And so here's the Shunammite woman, and she takes responsibility and she follows through with the problem. But not only, look at this for a second, not only that she would run to the man of God, but that she would return. She knew, I'm going, and we're coming back with an answer. We're going to come back with a solution to this issue. And so the husband now, he says, wait a minute, the son died? And he goes, yeah, he's dead. He says, well, why are you going to the man of God? He says, well, we should just have a funeral. We should just bury him. He's dead. It's over. He asks this question, why will you go to him today? He says, let's have the funeral first, right? Because in those days, they would bury you right away if somebody died. It was a week or 2 weeks. They buried you that same day or the next day. And so he's like, what's going on? He says, it's neither a new moon or a Sabbath. And the new moon represents, that's when the those who served Baal would worship during the new moons, and they would follow the astrological map and series of time, and they would worship during these seasons. And the Sabbath is what the Jews followed. So the Jews worshiped on the Sabbath. So she says, it's not according to pagan worship. We don't need to see. We don't need a man of God. And we don't need a man of God. It's not the Sabbath. And so he's thinking religiously. And she is thinking godly. Because she says, it will be well. She didn't even answer. She didn't answer his question, did she? He was like, why are you going there today? She says, it will be well. Wait, what? That's not what I asked you. That's a woman's answer right there, right? That's a mother's answer. He says, Mom, why are we doing? Just get in the car and go, right? Let's go. Moms don't give answers to questions a lot of times. Isn't that right? They say, you just do what I told you to do. You just obey. You just do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. It will be well. That's what she's saying. It will be well. And that's what mothers do. They say, look, I'm not getting into a whole lot of rigmarole and back and forth. I can't explain it to you. By the time I do all that, we could be done. He says, it will be well. And she's able to see. She's got a plan. She's got everything laid out. And you have to learn from this, because this is what we all experience, isn't it? This is what happens with all of us as we interact with people. Sometimes you're trying to get one thing, you're trying to get a simple answer, but you don't. You get, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. It'll work out. And you got to wonder about that. But apparently, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. Even Jesus, when the scribes and Pharisees asked him questions, he didn't always give a straight answer either. He would ask him a question right back. He said, I will see your question with one that will embarrass you if you answer it. Hallelujah. But the Shunammite woman, she was very nice. She says, don't worry, it's going to be fine. Because I'm sure she could hear it in her husband's voice. He was overwhelmed by the fact that the child died. Who wouldn't be in a situation like that? But she's now comforting him. She's like, hey, don't worry. We got this. Mama's got it. And so in verse 24, it says, she saddled her donkey. And she said to the servant, she says, drive, go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you to. Maintaining that control. Mama always has control. Mama always has control. And she knows what she's doing. She knows where she's going, and she's got a plan, and she is on the run, and she is in pursuit of godly authority. She is looking for an answer. She's looking for results. And so as she goes, she is riding that donkey. You ever rode a donkey before? Anybody ever ride a donkey? You know, not at the zoo, nowhere. You guys, yeah? Yeah. It's a bumpy ride, isn't it? It's a bump. Riding a donkey is a bumpy ride. That's why people don't like riding donkeys. It's like, give me a horse. That's a little better, right? You know, a horse is back and forth like this as he rides, but a donkey is like this, up and down as you ride. You ride a donkey, it's just a weird ride. It's like, right? And, you know, it's almost like they don't want you on their back, so they're making I'm not going to make this easy for you. Yeah, you want to be ride you. Yeah, riding a donkey. So here she is, you know, for this woman to get on a donkey and want to and be a person, she's saying ride fast. So the faster you go on a donkey, the worse it gets. The worse the ride is, and it can be painful. It hurts. And you're riding up and down. And that saddle. And you're like, come on, keep that thing going. Right? And you're riding and riding and riding. And she rode that donkey. She said, don't slow down unless I tell you to, because sooner or later, you know, you're going to be, all right, easy. But she said, we're going for a solution, and we're finding the man of God. And saints of God, when you're dealing with a heavy issue and a problem, you need to give it all you've got in your pursuit of God. You have to cry out to God. You've got to run to God. You have to draw upon your resources that God has given you. You ask people to pray, to intercede, and you ask for help in whatever way you need, but you send out that SOS and you allow God to make a way for you. In verse 25, it says, so she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And when the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, there's the Shunammite woman. Look at her. Man, she's riding that donkey. Goodness. Man, she's going. And so she sees him coming, and they see her coming. And so he says to his servant, Elisha says, run now and meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? What are you doing on that donkey? And so she answers, it is well. Boy, that's her answer. Her response is, it is well. It is well. But is it really well? No. Oh, no, there's an issue. There is something going on there. But she's saying it is well because the people who are asking the question are not a part of the solution. And so for them, everything is well. Now, the other thing is, she knows it is well because God is in control. God has the authority. She's not in denial. She is not pretending like something is not happening, that is actually happening. Because otherwise, why would you get on a donkey and ride? Do you know how far it is from Shunammite to where they were in Mount Carmel? 18 and a half mile trip. One way, on a donkey, riding at top speed. Top speed donkey riding. Man, you're ready to get off that thing. And so here she is. It is well. It is well. She said, I got pain all over my body, but it is well. It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet. She got off that donkey and grabbed Elisha by the feet. And Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. And saints of God, this tells us two things. It tells us that not everybody needs to know all your business. And we don't have to tell everybody all our problems and all of our issues, but we do have a plan through God to share with people who can make a difference. And when we share and we testify or we lay our burdens in the laps of those who God has placed around us, then it is for the reason or the purpose of bringing a solution. And so she grabs on to his feet, and she is praying, and she didn't say it is well to Elisha. That's not what she said. In fact, she was overwhelmed with emotion, and I'm sure she just broke down as she held on to his feet. And he said, no, the Lord has hidden this from me. And that tells us that Elisha was in the normal guise of hearing from God and knowing what was happening before it actually happened or before it actually got to him. God would reveal things to him. And this time it did not happen because that's what the prophet does. The prophet is able to see things beyond what the right now is. And so the woman was operating with a prophetic perspective because she said it is well, because it was about to be well. And so when she got to the prophet, she was finally had reached her destination and she understood, now I can release my problem at the feet of Elisha. And that's what you and I have to learn how to do as mothers, as fathers, as people of God. We have to learn how to lay our burdens at the Lord's feet at the feet of those who can intercede and who can cry out and who can help bring a solution, those who can lend a hand in some way. And so it says Gehazi tried to push her away, but he said, leave her alone. And in verse 28, she says, did I not ask for a son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And she's saying, I didn't ask for any of this. I told you, stop lying to me. Well, Elisha didn't lie because she did have the son. And that was a blessing. And she had him for many years. And that was a blessing. It only became a problem when he got his headache and he died. And isn't that what happens to us? We forget about all of the good things that have happened in our life. We forget about all of the blessings that we've received. And all of a sudden, we have this one issue, this one problem. Oh, it's a big one. I'm not saying that. But for whatever reason, everything else goes away. Why is it that when one bad thing happens, everything that happened before it turns bad? Why does evil have a grandfathering clause over the good in your life? I would submit to you, stop allowing that to happen. It is well. It is well. It is well. We'll keep that evil thing or that bad experience or that negative thing from having a grandfathering clause over all of the goodness of God in your life. Say, it is well. It is well. Hallelujah. It is well. No, okay. So, that was almost, all right. So he goes on here, he says, in verse 29, Gehazi says, gird up your loins, or Elisha says to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand. Go your way, and if you meet any man, do not salute him. If anyone salutes you, don't answer them back. Just lay my staff on the lad's face. Get to that place, and when you get there, take my staff and lay it on the lad's face. And so here is Elijah giving Gehazi direction as to what to do. I bet Gehazi had to get back on the donkey and ride 18 and a half miles himself. And so he's now, he's got a staff and he's got a bunch of stuff. He's going and he's on a mission to do the will of God. But there's a problem. The call was not to Gehazi, it was to Elisha. The woman was in pursuit of Elisha to tell him what happened, and that was what was on her heart to do. The call went to her. And so often we get calls and we have things that come to us and we try to pass it off on someone else. But God wants us to be the ones who own it, who have the responsibility. And we have to learn how to take responsibility. Oh, there's nothing wrong with taking someone with you, but I tell you, you must be the one who responds to the call. No one can respond to the call for you. Only you can respond to the call. That is why the word of God says, the day you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God wants us to open the door. God wants us to respond. No one can take your place. No one can do the thing that God has called you to do. It is your responsibility to take hold and follow through and accomplish the will of God. And so you and I are called to be the representatives of God. And that is why he gives us the authority of a prophet, a priest, and a king. Hallelujah. And he enables us to overcome in the power of the Spirit of God. And so in verse 30, it says, the mother of the lad said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And he arose and he followed her. Why? Because mama said, I'm going to hold on to your feet. I will stay here as long as I have to, but you're the one who's supposed to be going down to the house. Let us go. Let us go. And so he gets up and he goes. Why? Because nothing was going to happen unless Elijah went. And so Elijah goes down to the house. And it says Gehazi passed on before them, and he lays the staff on the lad's face, but there was no sound or response. And so he returned to meet him and told him, the lad has not awakened. Why didn't it work? Because the call didn't go to him. He didn't have the power or the authority. Elisha did. And you and I have to hold on to the reality that God has given us power and authority that no one else can take from us. You and I are the ones who are responsible. There are people on your job, in your homes, in your families, in the places that you go that God has charged you to reach. And the responsibility is on you to respond as a man of God, as a woman of God. A mother's role is to raise up her children in the way they should go. That is what we do. No one else can raise your children. It's your responsibility. And when God brings them to you, we impart ourselves to them. And this is what Elisha was facing. It wasn't power and a working that needed to happen. It was a presence that needed to happen. And so Elijah's presence needed to be in that place. And so when Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. Here's Elijah going into the room, the upper room, and there's the boy on his bed. So he goes in and he shuts the door behind them both and he prayed to the Lord. And saints of God, there are times when you're dealing with heavy situations, when you're dealing with intense things, you can't have a whole lot of opinions around. You can't have a whole lot of people who have ideas and they got something to say or they don't have anything to say. They're just there. Their presence is just not the right presence. The very thing that you need in order to experience a move of God and a demonstration of the Spirit of God is being overshadowed by somebody who's got questions going on in their own mind and who's like, well, he's dead. I don't know why. I don't know. Thinking all kinds of thoughts while you're trying to hear from God and allow a miracle to happen because you're in a room that appears to have no doors or windows and you need one to open so that God can show up. And so he goes in and he's praying and the story goes on and it tells us that he was talking to God. He was communing with God. And I bet in that moment he was thinking about his experience with Elijah. In 1 Kings 17:21, it says, then he, Elijah, stretched himself upon the child 3 times, and he called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Oh, hallelujah. Elijah was Elisha's mentor. Elijah was Elisha's mentor. And so I'm sure that Elisha was reflecting and he was remembering, what do I do? How do I solve this problem? Every good technician, if you will, or person who is trying to accomplish something. I was in the computer field and I was dealing with technical stuff. And so there were problems that needed to be solved. There were issues, and there were many times when I would pray and say, God, help me to figure this out. And you're calling on God, and God has to give you a solution. You need to hear from God. And I'm sure that that's what is happening, and he's there, and he's thinking, and he's reflecting, and God is reminding him, this is what Elijah did. And when you're having been mentored by someone, that's the advantage. Because when you find yourself in situations, you can think back. We had a problem similar to this before. How did we handle the problem in the past? How have we handled this? And we're praying and we're asking God, and God brings things back to your remembrance. God will remind you of what it is that you need to do. Every Christian needs a mentor. You need someone in your life who is willing to share their lives with you, be a part of your life, so that as you go through life, you will have instances to reflect back on. of how God did amazing things when you were found yourself in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is what God does. That's why being a part of the church is so powerful, so important. And so the Son is revived. In 1 Kings 17:3, Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." In other words, it is well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he brought him down from where? The upper room. And here is a woman who built an upper room for someone else. And now the upper room has become a place where God is meeting her to bring life to her son. Hallelujah. In verse 4, Elisha was reflecting back on what had happened just before he ran into the Shunammite woman. In verse 4, it says, he told her, "You shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." If you remember this story, this woman was the wife of one of the sons of the prophets. And as he came to her house, there was a famine in the land. They were having all kinds of issues and problems. They ran out of food and they didn't have anything. So he says, "Take as many vessels and empty pots as you can and pour the oil that you have into these pots." And a miracle took place. As she obeyed, she poured the oil into the pots. The oil was like the loaves and fishes. It never ran out. They kept pouring oil, kept pouring oil, kept pouring oil. And it didn't run out of oil until all the pots were filled. Elisha says, "Ah, I remember, Lord." And I bet he was praying and he was talking to God, reminding him of all these things. In verse 51 of Luke 8, Jesus here says, it says that he came to the house and he didn't allow anyone in to enter the house except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. So here he is praying for this little girl who had died, and he wouldn't let anyone in because they were all making jokes. They were laughing. They were mocking. And they were like, she's dead. There's nothing you can do. They were all mourning. And they were professional mourners. Did you know that? They had professional mourners in those days. When somebody would die, people in town would all gather. They say, somebody died. Oh, okay. And then when the funeral would come, they would all just cry. They would fake cry because they were supporting the family that was experiencing grief so that they wouldn't cry alone. They would cry with them. And so these guys, that's what was happening. Jesus said, whoa, we're not there. No. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Jesus came in and he gave life to the girl. And so this is a thing that God does. In verse 34, the story goes on. It says, "When he went up and laid hands on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm." Hallelujah. And so Elisha remembered what happened with Elijah. And so there he is, and he's following through. And then he says he returned and he walked into the house and he walked back and forth because the child was still dead. He got warm. I guess you lay on somebody for a little while, they warm up. And so he's laying there and the sun is warming up. And he says, "All right, well, I'm praying." And he keeps praying. He keeps praying. He is not giving up. Just like the Shunammite woman was persistent, he was like, "This woman just rode 18 and a half miles on a donkey to get me. Lord, we need you to do something. Lord God, we need a miracle from you. God, we need you to show up. And Lord, we need help. God, give me what to do. Tell me what I need to do." And as he walked back and forth and he prayed, and it says that he went up and he stretched himself on him again. And this time the lad sneezed 7 times. And then he opened his eyes. What? He opened his eyes. Saints of God, God is a miracle-working God. God is a miracle-working God. Do not give up in your situations, in your circumstances. Do not give up. It says in verse 36, then he called Gehazi and he says, all right, come here. Call the Shunammite. Let her know that she can have her son. Her son is alive. It says he called her, and when she came into him, he said, take up your son. Hallelujah. And I'm sure he was probably thinking, it is well. Hallelujah. It is well. And saints of God, the Shunammite woman was able to see the end from the beginning. And you and I, we have to have hope in God. We have to have a vision of the end when we're in the beginning, when we're starting out, when we're facing the problem, when we're dealing with the challenges and the difficulties. It says, then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and ran out. Hallelujah. Notice how she stopped to give thanks. Notice how she stopped to honor God, to worship God. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you are giving thanks for the amazing things that God has done in your life. I pray that you are modeling the way of the Lord and the righteousness of God to those in your life, that you are being a good mother, a good father, a good sister, a brother, or aunt, or uncle, or cousin, or friend. God has called us to represent the kingdom of God. The Shunammite woman, she ended with both feet up. She landed in a place of gratitude and thanksgiving. Her persistence has paid off. She worships and she gives thanks. She experienced the power of godly authority. She experienced a life coming into her son and her property being restored. The newness of God and of life, and her enemy, death, was defeated. You and I can experience great victory through Christ in our life, saints of God. All we need to do is send out an SOS. All we need to do is be willing to ride a donkey 18 miles. Whatever it takes to get to the Lord, to get to the feet of the ones who God has raised up to be an answer to the problem, a part of the solution, so that God can be glorified, God can be honored. Run, saints of God. Run, saints of God. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't even slow down unless it's necessary. Allow the Lord to do something amazing in your life. Allow God to be glorified. When God provides, reach out and take it. Be able to recognize what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and what He's doing. Allow God to be your source of help in your times of trouble. Allow God to be glorified. All you need to do is send out an SOS. Persistence pays off, and the faithfulness of a mother is like no other. Allow the Lord to do amazing things in your life, because He is willing and He wants to utilize all the resources you have for you when you send out an SOS. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hey! Woo! Now the lion of Judah, let the lion roar. God, I pray the lion is roaring in your life, and I pray that you are pursuing the Lord with all that you have, and that you are able to trust Him, that you are able to have faith in Him, even when it seems impossible. God is able to do amazing things in your life, and if you place your faith and trust in Him, He will open doors that no man can shut. He will make a way even when it seems impossible. When your faith and your trust is in Him, God is a God of the impossible. I pray that you are trusting in the Lord today, and that you are able to be an example to the unbelievers of what God can do. Let God do a new thing in your life and allow Him to be glorified. Be an example for your children and your children's children. God wants to give you a story, a testimony for all to share so that He can be lifted up. And so, Father, I thank You, oh God, for Your word today. And we ask, oh Lord, that You would be glorified and magnified in our lives. God, make a way, even when it seems impossible. Help us, Lord, and enable us to be the witnesses You've called us to be, that even as we make our public appearances, let them be in a demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power, as Paul said. And we thank You, oh God, for all these things. Let the mothers be blessed and the Spirit of God be upon them. Let them be lifted up and exalted today and given honor as honor is due, and that the Spirit of the Lord would be with them, and that their households and their lineage would be blessed of the Lord. Even as the Word of God says, their children will rise up and call them blessed. Lord, let it be so, and the blessing of the Lord be upon each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Faith, hallelujah. Turn away. We prepare the way. Prepare the way.
Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way.